Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hi folks, I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 354. This week, I'm going to talk with Michelle Byington, an attorney, a firearms attorney. In other words, an attorney who represents and defends gun owners. And she represents Texas Law Shield. Michelle and Edwin have been on the Handgun World podcast a couple of times, and this is the third time I had a good interview with Michelle. You're going to be surprised at some of the things that you hear. She's going to talk about a case, a little bit about a case that she's defending here in the state of Texas, a gun owner that she's defending here. And wait till you hear what this person was charged with and why they were charged. Well, that comes up towards the end of this interview. But we talk about quite a few things. And Texas Law Shield is one of the excellent programs where a gun owner and a concealed carry owner can get prepaid legal protection. And it's very important to do that. If you carry a gun every day, you need to have some kind of legal protection that is covering you in case you have to use your gun. Now, I know you might be saying, Bob, it's very rare that I'm going to have to use my gun. Yeah, it is. Why do you carry a gun anyway? I mean, you know, why are you doing this? You're doing it because in case that bad day comes, which I hope it never does, you have an ability to defend yourself. And that's great. You're going to win the fight. Hopefully you'll win the fight. But there's another fight that comes after the gunfight to save your life. And that is the legal fight. And there will be a criminal legal proceeding and likely be a civil action against you. Okay? And it happens all the time, even if it's a justifiable shooting. You're most likely going to jail and you're most likely going to court. And if you take a good class like Mag 40 with Masada Yub Group, it's great to do that because if it's a justifiable shooting, you will have an expert witness like Masada Yub. But even so, you still have to have a talented legal team. You have to be able to represent yourself well, and you have to have a talented legal team that knows gun law and that is a pro-Second Amendment legal team, and that can help convince a jury that you were a responsible, or you are a responsible gun owner, and you acted responsibly, and you acted within the law. It's not always easy to do, so that's where people like Texas Law Shield come in. Now, this is not a big Texas Law Shield commercial. Michelle and I got into some pretty interesting concealed carry and open carry topics. So enjoy the interview. Joining me as my guest on this episode is Michelle Byington, one of the attorneys for Texas Law Shield and U.S. Law Shield. Welcome back to the show, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's great. You know, this is your third time now that you've talked with me.
I know. So happy to do it again.
Thanks for coming back. Each one that we've done has been well received. People say they've gotten a lot out of it. So I like to bring guests back to get a lot of good reviews from listeners. And, you know, keep in mind, not everybody is from Texas. I've got people from all over the U.S. In fact, even some international listeners that tune in once in a while.
Oh, fantastic. Well, they are going to hear all about Texas law from me today.
So how's business at U.S. Law Shield and Texas Law Shield?
Oh, it's great. I mean, people have responded so well to the Firearms Legal Defense Program because it's really a no-brainer service. If you own a gun, then this is something that you need to think about having in your back corner. If, God forbid, you actually have to use that handgun and defend yourself or somebody you love.
You know, Michelle, explain to people, why is that? I mean, I know you're an attorney. You're not one of the salespeople there, or are you?
No, I am okay. Not a sales girl. Okay. I am a lawyer at the end of the day.
So even though you're a lawyer, okay, so you definitely have, you know, experience as to why do people need this?
You know, one particular case comes to mind, and this lady did everything right. She was a 65-year-old grandmother who lived alone. Somebody attempted to break into her home, and she ended up pulling her .357 out of her bedside table and used deadly force against the intruder. Well, she ended up being sent to the grand jury, even though she was in what would be considered a Castle Doctrine scenario here in Texas.
Right, right.
Somebody unlawfully entered her occupied habitation. She is presumed to have done the right thing when she used deadly force. She's presumed to have acted reasonably. Even with that very helpful legal tool, she still got intertwined in the criminal justice system and the civil system as well when a wrongful death civil lawsuit was brought against her. So 100% justified under the law, still got entangled in the legal system, and it's just cases like that that show why somebody absolutely needs a service like U.S. or Texas Law Shield if they own a gun.
Yeah, and a lot of people just still don't realize that. It's amazing, you know, on the internet, in the forums and places like that, and even just in general conversation, a lot of people don't realize it. I'm a Texas CHL instructor, and even some of the students that I've taught that I've signed off on before for them to get their CHL permit, or actually we call it license to carry now, even a lot of them don't realize what could happen to them if they have to use it.
Oh, yeah, it's incredibly frightening, and ignorance can be bliss, but let me tell you, if it happens to you, you know, you shouldn't have to go bankrupt hiring a lawyer and paying lawyer's fees. That's why this program exists.
Well, before we get into the main topic, because I got some specific questions for you, let me let you go ahead and do a little commercial for people who haven't listened to some of our older episodes. Explain Texas Law Shield and U.S. Law Shield.
Absolutely. So Law Shield is a firearms legal defense program. And what we do is we defend gun owners all across the nation if they are forced to use their handgun in self-defense, defense of other persons, or even defense of property. So if you are entangled in that use of a handgun, then we will provide you a lawyer from start to finish. They have a 24/7 emergency hotline. So if you have to use that handgun at 3 a.m. on Christmas morning, you have immediate access to your attorney who will then start helping you through the process through police interviews. You go to the grand jury, we'll take care of the grand jury preparation all the way to your criminal trial. And then once your criminal trial is over, if a civil lawsuit is brought out against you, which is wanting money out of your pocket, then we will represent you in the civil lawsuit as well.
Yeah, now people wouldn't do that, would they?
Oh, never. People are never looking for money for nothing or file frivolous lawsuits. That never happens.
No, that never happens, especially here in Texas. We got that under control, don't we?
Yeah, it's only every day that I see it.
Well, good explanation. Now, people might be wondering what's the difference between Texas Law Shield and U.S. Law Shield.
Yeah, if you are a Texas resident, you will want to sign up for Texas Law Shield. And Texas Law Shield will always be called Texas Law Shield because the program was born here in Houston, Texas. But then once the program started kind of marching along, there was a demand in other states. And so we have slowly started spreading across the nation. And in every other state, we are U.S. Law Shield.
Now, what are the other states where people can reside and still take advantage of your service?
Let's see. Florida, Georgia, Missouri, Oklahoma, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and soon to be New Jersey.
Are you serious?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Soon to be, but who gets a carry permit there?
They do exist, apparently. but we have a fantastic gun lawyer up in New Jersey who has really opened our eyes that this is a service that folks up there need.
Wow, that is cool. And, you know, the insurance company that I use, the firearms instructor insurance company I use, believe it or not, is based in New Jersey.
Really?
That's the last place I would have thought that they would be. But, yeah, I mean, they're up there. And I'll probably, maybe in the introduction of this show, I'll give them a plug because they've been doing a great job of keeping me protected, you know, from an instructor point of view as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. New Jersey's full of surprises.
It is. That's interesting. So, all right. So in those states, they can sign up for U.S. Law Shield and win there. Now, okay. So let's say someone, you said Pennsylvania is one of them, right?
Correct.
Let's say somebody's in Pennsylvania and they travel to Iowa. Then they're not covered, right?
Well, it depends. So those are the core states that I listed off. And of course, go to uslawshield.com and you'll be able to sign up there and see every individual state where we, offer the core program. If you're a resident of any of those states and you travel often around the country, we have an add-on that's called the multi-state program. So a Pennsylvanian who wants to travel to Iowa with their gun absolutely can. They will be afforded the same protections under U.S. Law Shield as if they were in Pennsylvania.
Terrific. Okay, uslawshield.com. And for those of us in Texas, texaslawshield.com.
Yep.
Good.
Got it.
Good. Good. Thank you. Michelle, okay, we're, you know, Texas, most people know we've been behind everybody else. Amazingly so. We just got open carry here 3 weeks ago, January 1, 2016. Have you seen or experienced any challenges with it?
No. You know, what I thought would happen has happened. It's been a non-issue. The rollout has been, there have been no problems with regards to open carry, and Texas Law Shield was pretty proactive in this sense. They also have a law enforcement program, and we sent attorneys all over the state to educate thousands of law enforcement officers on open carry, so I think that has really helped in this law going into effect.
Now, I didn't know that. You're out educating the law enforcement.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, in last week's podcast, I talked all about education, how we have to educate the gun culture. I didn't think to talk about educating the law enforcement, but that's awesome that you do that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's – now, okay, so here's my next question. We haven't had any problems. That's a good thing. Have you seen anybody open carrying?
I have. Well, number one, my partner, Edwin Walker, on January 1st came into the office open carrying, exercising his new right. But out in public, I have not. Going to the grocery store and just kind of living every day here in Houston, I have not seen anyone open carry outside of this office.
Yeah, that sounds like Edwin. I mean, he's been on this show a couple times, too, and that sounds like him.
Yep. That's it.
All right, so you haven't seen anybody. I did. I've seen one person.
Where?
It was actually here in San Antonio, just outside of a small shopping center. I was there. I forgot exactly what I was there and where I was going to. But his gun wasn't very large in size, but he was definitely walking on the sidewalk in front of the small shopping center.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah. So I had a question in mind here about that I was going to – oh, what do you make of this? There seems to be – or at least there was some mass hysteria around here. I saw all these 30-07 signs going up everywhere. Even some of them went up a couple of months before the open carry law even took effect. What do you make of that?
You know what? I saw one, a 30-07 sign outside of a bar the other evening when I stopped off for happy hour, and I thought to myself, you don't even have to post a sign because you're statutorily listed.
Right.
I am so sorry. I'm getting phone calls. So, yeah, there seems to be just this these business owners who don't even have to post a sign are doing it, because I think everybody thought it was going to be the Wild West around here with open carry when, you know, in all actuality, it's been the exact opposite. And like you mentioned, Texas was in the minority here. We were one of like four states who did not have some legal form of open carry. I mean, for goodness sake, California even has some form of lawful open carry, which is embarrassing for Texans. Again, it's been a non-issue across the nation, but still, you see these business owners, and I saw them even before January 1, throwing up these 30-06 and 30-07 signs in, I guess, preparation for, you know, duels in the OK Corral.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of shootouts and blood in the streets everywhere, hasn't there?
Oh, yeah, gosh, Oklahoma, running. Blood is just running down the streets there.
Yeah, yeah, and here in Texas, it hasn't quit flowing by my house. There's been so many people shooting each other. It's amazing, you know. It's like, yeah, I got to tell my son, be careful where you walk because people are shooting each other in the streets.
Exactly.
So then, why do you think there's been, you know, so many people throwing those signs up?
Well, I think guns are a pretty controversial topic, especially in today's environment, and I truly believe that those business owners who do post up 30-06 and 30-07 signs, they, in their heart of hearts, probably believe that if they prohibit guns on their premises, they are going to make their premises safer, when in all actuality, the opposite is true. Because when somebody wants to go and wreak havoc on an establishment, they're going to go for a soft target. They may look for those sorts of establishments that have the 30-06 or 30-07 sign posted and go and, you know, do whatever they want, whether it be a mass stabbing like we had at Lone Star College not too long ago here in Houston, or whether it be a mass shooting. They're going to go for these soft targets. And I just don't think a lot of business owners think that way. They think, okay, no guns safer, as opposed to more guns safer.
Well, my listeners and I have had a discussion here the last few weeks, and, you know, victim disarmament zones is a term that Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation uses, and I think that's a real good description.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. These gun-free zones leave people as sitting ducks, and you're just waiting to be a victim in these areas.
So regarding the mass stabbing you had at Lone Star College, what sign do they put up to prohibit knives?
They don't have to because they are an educational institution.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they don't have to do that. I was actually being sarcastic, but then I realized, oh, that's right. They're a college. Yes, they're an educational institution.
Well, and you know, if that bad guy would have seen a no knife sign, he would have definitely stopped and gone back to his car and would not have wrecked havoc on Lone Star College.
Well, same thing is true when they see the no gun signs, right?
Exactly true.
The bad guys turn around and run away, don't they?
They do. Yep.
Yeah.
Time after time.
So, Michelle, clear this up, because I've heard both sides. In Texas, people have heard me talk endlessly about the 30-06 sign. Statute 30.06, which prohibits concealed carry, and now we have 30.07, which prohibits open carry. If they want to prohibit both, do they have to display both signs?
Yes. There was nothing written into the law that will allow for a joint one sign. If a business owner wants to keep a person from carrying concealed, they must post that 30-06 sign and meet all of the requirements under that statute. The same is true for open carry. If an establishment wants to stop open carry, they must post a 30-07 sign and abide by all of the statutory requirements that go along with that. If they want to stop all guns, period, from coming in by a license holder, they're going to have to post both a 30-06 and a 30-07 sign.
Well, let's say if they want to fictitiously stop all guns from coming in there.
How do you do that?
It doesn't really work.
It doesn't really work.
I'm being sarcastic. If they want to give themselves a good feeling and think that they're stopping all guns, what they're doing is they're stopping all law-abiding citizens from bringing guns in there.
That's exactly right.
The bad guys are not going to see those signs and run away.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
So Michelle, regarding these signs, do you think the business owners know that they have to put both up?
I don't know that answer. I would assume the answer would be yes, just because of what we kind of talked about earlier with those 30-odd-7 signs being thrown up prior to January 1.
Yeah.
I would like to think that they know that applies to open carry, and open carry was coming January 1, and so they put those up. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just don't know what is in their minds.
Yeah. Tell people what the penalty – I know because I'm an LTC instructor, but I want – since you're the attorney, I want you to tell people. What is the penalty in the state of Texas if they are carrying in an establishment that has it posted?
So after January 1, a – posted 30-odd-6 or 30-odd-7, if you violate that law, you are committing a Class C, as in cat, misdemeanor, which is punishable by up to $200.
Up to $200, so it's a $200 fine. Class C, as in cat, misdemeanor.
Yes, and it does not affect your license to carry. So if you violate this, you are issued a citation for $200. It will not affect your handgun license.
What about the second offense?
The second offense, you may.
Yeah, it may. It may affect your license on the second offense.
Correct. We just don't know, because, I mean, the law is very, very new, so we'll see how this rolls out and how DPS starts handling, you know, our repeat violators.
And the same penalties apply to violators of concealed carry.
Correct. That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Still a Class C.
Somebody asked me that earlier, and so I figured that would be a good question to ask and talk about it in a public podcast. And, you know, it just seems to me that all this signage stuff, it's a real joke, because it's not really stopping anything.
You're exactly right. It's really giving people a false sense of security. And in my opinion, if it's doing anything, it's telling the bad guys that you are a soft target.
Yeah. Michelle, when people find out what you do and you talk to them, do they say things like, well, what about, you know, the fact that we can now open carry here?
Oh, gosh. I went and spoke to a church, I guess, last week, and I said I was a gun lawyer and I was here to try to help the church with gun policies and kind of work to let them know what sort of liability they're opening themselves up to by posting a sign or by not posting a sign. Oh, my gosh. Some of the women in that meeting looked at me like I had four heads and I was wanting to, I don't even know, gas school children. It was just, some people just can't get past the gun, and that the gun is this evil tool, when, in fact, the gun is a tool that can be used for good, and that people kill people, and guns don't necessarily jump off of a desk and shoot another person.
No. And you know, you said something interesting just a minute ago. You explained to them the liability of what happens if they post the signs?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were to post a 30-odd-6 and a 30-odd-7 sign, and say somebody did come in and used deadly force or maimed the congregation of that church could be opening themselves up to liability from stopping somebody from being able to defend themselves or the congregation.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There could be some civil liability from stopping, you know, your people from being able to carry therein.
So what was your reaction from church leadership on that?
Church leadership loved everything I had to say, but some of the other people in that group just thought I was this absolute nutso, which may or may not be true.
Now, wouldn't it also apply to any other establishment other than a church that puts signs up?
Absolutely. It could apply to anybody who posts these signs, because you're rendering people defenseless. And if something were to happen and somebody were injured as a result that they were left unarmed, you're opening yourself up to potential liability there.
An unintended consequence, as we talk about.
Yep, unintended consequences.
Which people never think about.
You're exactly right.
That's interesting. I have to be quite frank, I never really thought that they were legally opening themselves up to a liability. I knew that practically that they were, but I didn't realize that legally they were.
Oh, it's a possibility for sure.
And that makes sense because, you know, they've established, they've disarmed the good guys and gals.
Correct.
And family of good guy or gal who got killed in a shooting that took place in there has a civil lawsuit ready to go, don't they?
They sure do. Wrongful death because you left him unarmed.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listeners to my show, maybe this is the kind of discussion you need to have with business owners that put up the signs.
Absolutely. And, you know, if they don't want to take down their signs, take your business elsewhere. Go support Second Amendment friendly businesses.
Yeah, most people who listen to this show do that.
I would assume so.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of us advocate having a frank discussion with the owner or manager of that business if you can.
For sure.
And this might be a really good topic for that frank discussion.
Absolutely. No, I would encourage everybody to go and chat with, you know, whoever is in a managerial role to try to run this up the chain that you were, you know, prohibiting the good guy from carrying.
Yeah. Michelle, I know you can't discuss specifics, but are there any interesting cases that you want listeners to know about recently?
Wow, you are going to have to get, you know what? I have one that just occurred. The incident occurred probably 2 weeks ago. And the individual was arrested, was charged with a felony. And so what happened, kind of the short story, and again, this has just happened, so we just went to his first court appearance. We don't know how this is going to play out. But there was a city inspector on a Texas Law Shield member's property, and they were inspecting they're constructing a shed out in the backyard, and they have to get city approval for this shed. So the city inspector was there speaking to the Texas Law Shield member and his mother. Well, the Texas Law Shield member walked away for a moment and came back to the city inspector yelling and just being aggressive towards his mother. So he yells at the city inspector, "Hey, get off my property."
Yeah.
Well, the city inspector says, "I don't have to do bleep, blah, bleep. I don't have to do anything you say. It's the clean version." and stayed on his property. Well, the member was open carrying his handgun. Number one, even prior to open carry passing here in Texas, you could openly carry on your own property.
Yes.
And so when this guy said he wasn't going to leave, our member took a couple steps back and just kind of put his hand above his waist, like, "I've got a gun, buddy. You can see it. You need to get off my property." Well, at that point, the city inspector yells at him, "Oh, are you going to kill a city employee?" And the guy says, "No, just get off my property." Well, the city inspector then gets off the property. About 20 minutes later, there are probably 10 cop cars that pull up, surround his property, probably 15 to 20 police officers who have rifles aimed at the house.
Really?
Yelling for them over the loudspeaker to come out with their hands up. Oh, gosh, yeah. In the Houston area, which is shocking.
Wow.
So this city inspector went and called the police and told them that this member had pointed his gun at him, had threatened him and his partner's life with a handgun, that they needed to go arrest him immediately.
And the gun never left the member's holster.
It never left the member's holster. He says he didn't even touch it. He just kind of motioned towards it like, "Hey, man, get off my property. You at this point are a trespasser. Leave."
Okay.
Which is perfectly lawful here in Texas. And he was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, which is a felony. We had our first court appearance last week on it.
Unbelievable.
And so, yeah, it's just – and this is like – a great, great kid, a great, great. It's a pleasure to be able to represent this guy because he is just a stand-up citizen who, unfortunately, has found himself in this scenario.
So the inspector was already committing a crime. He was trespassing.
Correct, because he wouldn't leave. Yeah.
But even though he was committing the crime, he files charges against the landowner.
Correct. He was the first to call. He went and made a statement. and just sat back and then watched the cards, I guess, fall as they did.
Ooh, you just said something very interesting I want to point out. He was the first to make the call.
Yeah.
That's why you've got to be the first to make the call to 911, correct?
Exactly right, because whether you're right or wrong, the first person who calls and reports the incident is seen as having more credibility than the person who didn't.
Please do me a favor. I know you can't give specifics, but will you keep me updated on that case?
I absolutely will. Absolutely.
I think you've piqued a lot of people's interest, and they're gonna want to know the outcome of that one.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And again, folks, this is why you need to have a service like Texas Law Shield or U.S. Law Shield for these kinds of bogus incidents like this. You're gonna have to protect yourself, and it can get expensive.
Oh yeah. For gosh, a felony. If you were to go and find you an attorney off the street here in this Houston area, it would be a minimum $10,000 retainer.
Yeah. Yeah, which is paid if they're a member.
Correct, which is paid if they're a member. They do not pay anything above the membership fee of $10.95 a month.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Michelle, you know, I think we're at a good stopping point, and I really appreciate it. Say hi to Edwin for me.
You got it. Absolutely.
And thank you. One more time, folks. It's Texas Law Shield or USLawShield.com. Both web addresses essentially get you to about the same place, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Michelle, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on the Handgun World podcast again.
Thank you. I hope to talk to you soon.
We will. We'll do it again. All right. Many thanks. Michelle, thank you very much. Check it out. Check out those websites, TexasLawShield.com and USLawShield.com. I hope that Michelle keeps me updated on that case because, is that bogus or what? But folks, be the first one to call 911. All right. I got some voicemails from some listeners. So here's the first one.
Hey, Bob, this is Derek again. Thanks for letting me know that I didn't properly record earlier. My comment about the gun-free zones is that we should call them what they really are, namely an unarmed victim zone. That way everyone can know that by entering them, they are therefore an unarmed victim. As for the other thing, I want to go and cut a promo. You said if we enjoyed listening, we could. So I'm going to leave a slight pause here so you can cut it if you need to. Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast. Thanks a lot, Bob.
And thank you, Derek. Very well done. And unarmed victim zone is excellent, or victim disarmament zone, as Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation likes to call them. Yes, and we should be calling them exactly what they are, because that is what they are. Great promo there, Derek. I'm going to use that. I'm going to edit that and use that either beginning or in the middle of shows. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a voicemail comment, you want to call it in, the telephone number is 210-646-1727. 646-1727, area code 210. Let me invite you to go to the Handgun World podcast page at handgunworld.com. Check out my new logo. I got a new logo for the show. You should be seeing it on iTunes. You should be seeing it on Stitcher Radio if that's how you listen to this show. You should be seeing my new red and black logo. Compliments of Greg. Greg is a California Highway Patrol officer in the state of California. And Greg did a great job designing the logo for me, the new one. It was voted on by listeners on Facebook. I put several of them up there, left them up there for about a month, and the logo that you should now see has been chosen by listeners. It was the most popular choice. And I think I'm going to start getting some hats and shirts and maybe some patches, some promo items made. And once I can figure out how to do all that and get all the, figure out how to do that economically so that it works out, I'll be telling you about it. But check it out. Go to handgunworld.com. Go to the Handgun World Facebook page, facebook.com/handgunworldpodcast. Would love you to go there and like my page over there. If you want to follow me personally, I'm Bob Main on Facebook, but I don't put a whole lot of gun stuff on my personal page. Recently, I had to give you this announcement. I went through a lot of cancer tests at MD Anderson. And praise the Lord above, I am still cancer-free. You know, I told my doctor, I told him thank you for his work. And I told him, I said, you know, doc, you're doing God's work. I said, you know, God puts, I'm a firm believer that God puts smart people and smart doctors on this earth to help humanity. And that's what good doctors do. And you know, I think he very much appreciated that. I meant the sincere compliment. So, hey, for now, I'm still cancer-free and I'm enjoying every minute of it. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy every hour of your life. Make it count. Lewis Carroll said, in the end, we are only going to regret the chances we didn't take. I'll say that again. In the end, we're only going to regret the chances we didn't take. Make your life count. I saw somebody else put on Facebook one time, and they said it's not how long you live your life, it's how much your life mattered and what it did and how you affected people. And so, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I try to do on this podcast, is I try to just positively affect people. See, I may not, you know, say something that you agree with all the time. You may not always agree with things I say. Matter of fact, a lot of people really vehemently disagree with things I say. That is okay. I'm okay with people disagreeing with me. I'm okay with people challenging me. And as most of you know, I will change my mind on things if people make a really good case. And I'll change my mind and I'll tell you about it. I'm humble enough to do that. I'm not one of these people that, you know, that decides, hey, you know, you're not going to tell me anything, I know. No, I absolutely not. You know, I think the good Lord's blessed me with some communication skills and some teaching skills, but you know, there I learn from all kinds of sources. I learn from you, the listeners. I learn from other people, and that's what life's all about. The day you quit learning is pretty much the day that you stop enjoying life. All right, let's take the next voicemail.
Hi, Bob. John out in Washington. I just got a Ruger LC9S Pro. I absolutely love it. Shoots like a dream, great trigger. Nice rounded edges, easy to carry. I carry it at 4 o'clock inside the waistband and with an extended magazine, so I have 8+1. And I'm thinking about whether I need a magazine carrier or not, and I don't like the idea of wearing one on my belt because I'm trying to conceal and that seems like a giveaway. And I don't like putting lots of stuff in my pocket. And I was thinking about maybe getting a second LC9S Pro and wearing it at 8 o'clock because it just feels great back there and it would sort of balance things in the back of my body. I'm wondering what your thought is about that and whether you've ever seen somebody else do something like that. And while we're at it also, why is it that I can't find a holster with a magazine holder built right into it? Thanks, Bob. Looking forward to your thoughts. Bye-bye.
John, thank you for the call. I've heard a lot of good things about the Ruger LC9S Pro. As a matter of fact, I had a chance to shoot one when I was teaching a beginner's class, and one of my listeners here in San Antonio had one and let me shoot it. It was nice. I liked it. I've never actually seen somebody carrying two of them like that. Actually, I've never actually seen somebody carry two guns both inside the waistband. I mean, I carry two guns occasionally, one that is on my belt and one in a pocket, but I've never seen somebody carry one at 4 o'clock and one at 8 o'clock on their belt inside the waistband. I don't see why you couldn't do that. It's a good idea. John, I would recommend that you look into horizontal magazine carriers. They conceal extremely well. It's not a giveaway. Most people can carry an extra magazine, especially a small magazine for a little gun like a Ruger LC9. Those little magazines you should be able to carry in a horizontal mag pouch. Now, there's magholder.com. Mag holders are great. I use mag holders for my Glock magazines and my M&P magazines. And Dale Fricke makes excellent horizontal magazine holders that I use for my Shield and my Glock 43. So, you might want to investigate that, John. And by the way, after you called me, I did an internet search on holster and magazine combos. There are plenty of manufacturers that will make a holster and a magazine pouch that is a combo together. Just search that. Go on the internet and search that. They're out there. Now, this is my personal opinion on that. I'm not a big fan of carrying a magazine in the same holster as your gun. Here's why. What happens if, let's say you're carrying your gun strong side. What happens if your strong arm, your good arm, or your arm that you're most coordinated with, what happens if you get hurt in that arm? Now you got to draw your gun with your weak hand, with your other hand. Your other arm. You better practice that. And then now if you have to get a new magazine, now you're going to have to figure out a way one-handed, and you're going to have to reach over to the other side of your body with your other arm and to get the magazine out. So that's why, like, I'm a right-hander. I like to carry the gun on my right side and the extra magazine on my left side. And I horizontal carry the extra magazine just to the left of my belt buckle at around the, I guess that would be about the 10 or 10:30 position. In a horizontal position, then that way I'm grabbing the extra magazine with my left hand. Okay, it's a lot easier, by the way, if I'm having to shoot with my left hand. Let's say my right hand is hurt or something like that, and I have to shoot with my left hand. If for some reason I need to set the gun down on something, grab my reload, and get my extra magazine or something like that in there, I can get my reload out, my extra magazine out, with my left hand a whole lot better if I'm carrying it on my left side. So anyway, there's some suggestions for you, John, but if you want to get two Ruger LC9s and carry two of them, have at it. Wonderful. That's cool. If that's what's going to work for you. Now, if you do that, practice. You got to train drawing and shooting with your left hand. So if you're carrying that behind your hip, practice that. You know, I guess that means you're going to have to get a left-handed inside the waistband holster, and you're going to have to practice that way. And I guess the gun on your right will be your primary, and the gun on your left will be your secondary or your backup. That's cool. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. So, but just you got to practice this stuff, and you got to think this stuff out, folks. For me, I like to carry spare magazines. And the way I figure it is, yes, occasionally I carry a backup gun, which is a Pocket 380, and about the only backup gun I ever carry is a Pocket 380. That's normally my backup gun, and when it's serving as a backup, it'll be in my opposite pocket. So I'm carrying my primary weapon on my right side, and I'll have the 380 in my left front pocket. So I'll be drawing and shooting that 380 with my left hand, and I practice it. Okay, and you should do that too. But John, do that internet search as well, and thank you very much for the call. This was a good one. You posed some interesting questions. Let's see. I think that just pretty much wraps up a lot of what I wanted to say. I do want to mention that Brian from Alabama called in a voicemail, and I believe I accidentally deleted his voicemail. But Brian is a former, or he's a student of ours. He's been to a couple of our classes. He's a left-handed revolver shooter, and he does very well. And Brian called in just to say that he wanted me to do more interviews. And so, you know, Brian, I've been doing a lot of interviews lately. And the one that was on this episode, and of course recently I've had Paul Carlson from the Safety Solutions Academy and the Gun Nation podcast as a guest. I've had Ben Branham as a guest. I got another really good interview coming up, which is a surprise. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, you'll find out probably next week. So I am putting out some more interviews. I hope you guys have been enjoying the interviews. And I got a few more other guests that I have in mind that I'm going to invite to come to the Handgun World podcast and talk with me. Hey, Ben and I are going to Alaska, the end of June. Check it out. For all of my Alaska listeners, we're teaching 2 days of Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. It's an extended 2-day version of Beyond Concealed Carry. I have decided to travel for 2 classes this year. That's it. 2 classes. I'm going to go to Houston, and I'm going to go to Alaska. I can't pass up the chance to go to Alaska. So check it out. We're going to be up there 2 days, and it's on the website, handgunworld.com. Go to the training classes page. I changed the website a little bit, so you got to click training classes, and you'll see a list of all of them. You'll see the Houston classes. You'll see the Alaska class. John Payne from Suarez International told me that I think the rifle class is half full. It's half full already, and that is in May. So, you know, don't procrastinate, folks. That's going to be a great class. M4 Rifle Gunfighting. John Payne from Suarez International is going to come out and teach that. Sign-ups, like I said, they're about half full for that. Don't forget about the Shooters Club and my Amazon store. You can support my show and help me pay the bills and keep on doing this. And, you know, yeah, I make a little extra money doing it. I appreciate that. You don't even have to pay me. Just let Amazon pay me. Just do your Amazon shopping through my store. Go to handgunworld.com. Again, click the page that says Amazon store. Follow the directions. If you do that every time, it doesn't take you very long. It takes you about 5 seconds to do that. You'll be supporting me. And Ben and I have about 57 podcasts, about 45 or 46 videos on the Shooters Club. And that's only $8 a month or $75 a year. So, with all that said, folks, thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, evil doesn't exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. And I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.